This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
But it has to be the right person. But I could switch with women. I could be dominant with women, but I cannot be dominant with men to save my life. Oh, I have tried.
It's hard. I feel the same way.
Oh, it's
way
so hard. I've tried. It is so hard for me. I've actually pegged a guy, believe it or not.
Nice.
And that, I giggled and I realized, I was like, this is not what I want to be doing. It's like, this needs to be the other way around.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean.
Hi, my sweets. I'm back. Thank you so much for joining me. This is my first time and my first guest in Charleston. As most of you know, I moved across the country and took a little hiatus. So I'm grateful to be back and sitting in my new little comfy couch and studio. And next to me is Dakota Hendricks. Welcome.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So thank you so much for being my first guest in Charleston. Coming from LA, I was like, oh my God, what's it going to be like meeting people?
I'm really excited. I'm happy that you chose me to be your first guest, actually. So I feel special. So
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I found you. You're a kinky person.
Oh,
you're a vulnerable person.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Pretty open about everything. So
yay. Yeah, that's what I love about you. You kind of
maybe a freak in the sheets a little bit.
So let's start with, you know, we'll get into all of that and your kinks and things that you love to do and explore. But first, you grew up in South Carolina, right?
I did,
so you're from here.
Mm-hmm. Born and raised. Yeah. Interesting enough. Yeah. I'm local, I guess, native to Charleston. A little different, I guess you could say, for like the kink world and stuff, because I was very sheltered growing up, believe it or not, like to the point where, but I didn't even really know that Somerville, the town, was a town until I was like 15 years old. So very sheltered, very closed life as a kid. And then I just kind of opened up my world a little bit once I started being, I guess, a rebel. At home life. I got kicked out at 16.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I was homeless for 2 years. And then I got my own place at 18. I actually had a townhouse in Mount Pleasant, believe it or not, paying $800 a month. Yeah. And then just went on from there. So
did you find yourself, you know, because you were a little bit more sheltered, kind of starting to open up and explore because you wanted to just see all the different.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, pretty much like it was very much a culture shock, I guess you could say, in a sense, because I didn't realize that there was so much to be known about the world, and not only about the world, but also about sex and stuff like that. So because my parents were very anti-sex growing up, like it was a sin, like you were not allowed to talk about it, do it, none of that stuff. And that was hard for me growing up because I'm adopted too. So I didn't feel comfortable enough talking to my parents about sex. Like when the birds and the bees conversation came up, I think I was 12, and my mom actually put me in the car and took me on a drive, and I was so uncomfortable. She just basically said to me, she was like, you can never have sex. It's very bad for you, and you will get pregnant, have kids, and die. And I was like,
oh, wow.
okay, sorry, like I won't do anything. And then I met my first boyfriend at 14 and I lost my virginity on a tractor, believe it or not.
In the middle of
Southern. The country. Yeah. It was great. No, it was great. I definitely recommend it. It was a lot of fun. But
I guess that's kind of like your car. Like, I feel like yes, I had a lot
yeah,
of young,
yeah, exactly.
high school sex in
yeah.
the car.
Yeah. 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 And then I,
so did you feel like you were being naughty? Did you feel like you were doing something bad? Like that shame?
Mm-hmm. Very much. A lot of shame. Yeah. It was almost as if like I felt as if like if my parents were to find out that they would hate me, they would never want me to be a part of the family, which that's not, it didn't happen like that at all. But I was very much, my parents labeled me as the bad kid, as the rebel, as the one who just mischievous, everything about her is mischievous. And that was just partially because like I was so sheltered as a kid, like all of these things were happening around me. I was just like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to dive into this. Right. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was sex. And so I started out at 14, lost my virginity. And then I just kind of spiraled after that. I went to two different boarding schools. So the first one was all girls. So no sex really happened there. I'm bi. Didn't really find that out till later. But after coming home from boarding school for a year, from all girls school, it was rough. And I didn't really know how to like give males attention that wasn't sexual, if that makes sense. So everything, every guy I was talking to, every person that was coming across my lap, that was a guy, I was very sexual with them. And I thought that was normal. That's not normal. Don't do that. But
that makes sense. I think a lot of women, like, were kind of taught to be sexual with the opposite sex.
Yes.
And so again, that's kind of like ingrained in us.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. It was like a blessing and a curse almost. Because for some odd reason, like I would have more guy friends than I would girlfriends too. So not only would it would be like a push and like pull type of deal with men. Like I didn't know if they wanted to fuck me or if they wanted to be my friend or if it was both or, you know, just wanted to use me and stuff like that. So it was really hard for me to differentiate everything. And I did that alone. So when I finally I got my GED, graduated high school. I started to think about women too. And I don't know why, just one day, just like one of my best friends growing up, her name is Carson. I thought she was so pretty. Right. One day got drunk, went out downtown, got drunk, came back and we ended up having sex. And that was my first girl experience. And it scared me. Like after it happened, I looked at her. She's like, oh yeah, you just spend the night. And I was like, no, I'm going to go home. I'm going home, you know, got up, left. I texted her the next day and I was like, I'm really sorry. I left like that. But that was my first experience with a girl and I needed to decompress and I needed to just like be alone, you know, and like my mind process everything. But after that, I realized that like I liked girls and guys. Mm. And so I came out as bi. And when my parents found that out, it was bad. Yeah. Yikes. They both looked at me. They're like, do not ever bring a girl home. Where else? And I'm like, okay, I won't do that.
Has your relationship with them shifted?
Oh, yeah. So it's been like up and down with my family. Right now, we are down here.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not really. I guess for me, it's more so of I don't really want to be involved with them. So it's more so on my end this time than it is on their end. Just found out some things that they were doing behind my back that I didn't know about. So like I'm partially deaf and I was supposed to be able to, you know, get on disability and all those things. But I found out that my father had me on payroll since the age of 12.
Oh my God.
And I'm 27. So finding that out was a lot. And I've taken away holidays from them for that. Because it's just, you don't do that to your kids, you know? And
so they were collecting money.
Oh, yeah. So, for example, like last year, I made $40,000 and I didn't see a dime of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's rough because, like I said, I was homeless too one time at one point. And my parents, like, they didn't care. They're like, you know, you're going to do you. You chose this life. You're going to do. And I didn't choose the life like that. No, you guys forced me out because I didn't want to listen to your rules. But I also, because I saw the fakeness that my family would portray and try to show me and my sister. That's another thing, I have a younger sister too, but we are not close at all. Mm. She is the good child, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
My parents praise her, and it's shame Annie. And so that's hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I always felt like the only way I could get attention from my family was to act out and do things that were not okay to do. That's hard. Mm-hmm. But the past, I'm going to say about 5 years, I've grown more so as a person on my own individually than to have that constant voice in the back of my head of my mom and my dad saying, oh no, Annie, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, you'll get in trouble if you do this, or somebody will judge you if you do that type of thing, which has been a big relief for me because I used to think about that all the time. Like, oh, if my mom found out I had sex with this person, oh my God, she's going to kill me, mm-hmm. type of stuff. Like, they found out I lost my virginity because my boyfriend didn't have a phone at the time. It was a home phone, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the home phone, right? My mom picks up the phone.
Oh no.
As I'm talking to him about it, just randomly. And I just hear them call my name, come downstairs, and they're like, so you've had sex? And I was like, no. What are you talking about? What is that? I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Then my mom was like, yeah, we heard your phone conversation. And I was like, oh.
Mine was a similar. I was 15 and I was having an instant messaging conversation. And my dad had like a lock on it. Or, you know, when certain words would come up, he like could read the whole conversation. It was like some parental thing. And that same thing, he then ran upstairs. You had sex. And I was just like, terrified.
No, awkward. Oh my gosh. No.
So how did you, you know, you mentioned how you've like grown and mm-hmm. become, I guess, more empowered. Mm-hmm. And I've even seen you with like, I think I saw you post something about how you didn't even wear makeup for like a whole year time.
Oh yeah. So that was a whole thing. I think it was around the COVID. It was around COVID time. I was in a very committed relationship with a guy named Hunter, and he was my everything. And, when COVID hit and we had to be inside and, you know, all that stuff, there was no point for me to wear makeup. And I felt as if like, I didn't need makeup. And Hunter would always tell me and be like, you're so beautiful. You don't need it. Just, you know, just go without it. See how you feel. I threw away all of my makeup, all of it. I did not wear it for about a year and a half. And that was, a lot of people were surprised and were like, how did you do it? Please tell us how you did that. I just, having somebody that you love and care about so much say that to you and say that you don't need it and you're beautiful the way you are, really, it like hit me hard. Because during that time of COVID, I felt like everybody was going through so much bad stuff mm-hmm. in relationships, families, all that. I felt as if I felt so good about something about myself that I never felt before because of my deafness. I always felt like I was ugly in a way or didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. And so having someone tell me that I didn't need that, like lifted me up past the rooftop for me. So I definitely took advantage of that, stopped wearing makeup for a year and a half almost. And then he passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he passed away January 10th, 2021. He committed suicide. Oof. And we had just gotten engaged the December prior. And yeah, I had no idea. That's the other thing. You'll never know. The women who actually do that, they'll never say anything to you about it. He never once was depressed. He never showed anything along the lines of that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And when I got the phone call, I was at a gas station, believe it or not. And I blacked out. I'm actually banned from this gas station because I don't remember anything that happened. But when he passed away, my everything, like, I felt as if I was starting from day one again. My self-confidence, my anxiety, my depression. I mean, everything hit me a million times a minute. I really honestly didn't even like go outside and socialize with anybody for a year after he passed away. I was also very addicted to Xanax because I needed to medicate. Mm-hmm. I needed to get out of my thoughts. So I was heavily on Xanax for about a year, some change. And then one day I couldn't get it anymore. So I quit. I got sober, quit. And I started to slowly recuperate myself and build my self-confidence back up and all of that stuff and like try to push the anxiety away. I still have such bad anxiety. That's one thing I didn't have before was crippling anxiety. And I have that now. It's crazy what grief can do to a person. It flipped me right upside down. So dealing with that, like it's only been 4 years. It'll be 5 years in January. And I have learned that life is too short to hold grudges, to be mad at somebody, to all the things. So I have this rule where everybody around me in my life, I have a 3-strike rule. So 3 strikes, you're out. The reason for that is because I myself have never been given enough chances by people. And Hunter wasn't given enough chances by people and himself. And so I told myself that I feel like everybody deserves at least 3 chances. You get 3 strikes. You mess up on that 3rd strike, you're out. And I've held myself to that. And it's helped me realize who's real and who's caring, you know, who wants to be in my life and be a part of my life, not hurt me, take advantage of me, use me, things like that, which also comes into a play of why I do OnlyFans and why I am so open with my sexuality and my kinkness and all of that is because I'm a no judgment person. I don't judge anything. Like, you could tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. I'll tell you mine. You know what I mean? And so one of the reasons why I started OnlyFans, believe it or not, was basically a fuck you to my parents type of thing.
Acting out in a way.
Yes. Because I found out what they were doing. So I just said, you know what? I had so many people telling me, you should make one. You should just do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do it, but I don't want to use my real name. My parents didn't find out for about a year. They didn't know. They had no idea. And the only reasons why they kind of found out was because I wasn't having to ask them for help anymore financially. They weren't having to pay my bills. They weren't having to like mingle in, you know, try to ask me if I need anything or, you know, stuff like that. Because my parents' big thing is control. They like to have control over me. So any chance they get to have control over my finances or anything like that, they take it. And so when I stopped and I told my dad, I was like, I don't need you to just, you know, stop paying for whatever you use. I got it. I can hold my own. They started asking me why. And my first excuse was, I have a sugar daddy. Don't worry about it, right? And my parents were like, okay, well, I mean, I guess like it's fine. She's got a sugar daddy. She's fine. And then somebody told on me. Don't know who it was to this day.
Oh, it's so common, though.
People but somebody to told on me.
Other people's business.
Yep, someone told on me. And it was honestly, I gave it to my parents, the best reaction I think I've ever received from them, in a sense of they didn't give a fuck. They told me, they were like, honestly, if we were your age in this day and world time, probably we have one too. And I just was shocked at taken aback by that. I was like, wait, hold on. Where are my parents and what did you do with them? Because this is not at all how I thought this was going to go. And they were just really happy and proud that I wasn't using my name. I think that was the biggest thing for them, as they didn't want me to use my name. Mm-hmm. I guess because reputation, whatever, but I don't, me of all people, I don't give a fuck about reputation. I really don't. So I just was like, okay, well, if they don't care, they don't care. Cool. Then, like, slowly but surely, people would reach out to my family about it. And that bothered my parents a lot, which I get it. Like, nobody wants to hear about, you know, like, kids.
Yeah, sexual. Why are people even reaching out to them? It's like,
Charleston is a very small. The locals here.
The South.
I mean, yeah. So the locals here, everybody knows everybody. And my dad is a dentist here in Charleston. And so has his own practice. So word got around and people would bother my dad about it. And it started to become a problem. And I thought that was just weird how, like, okay, that's cool. But all right, you guys just want to be nosy and be in my business. That's fine. You know, whatever. But they still respect the boundary of it's my life. Sex is my life. Like, you guys have no say in that. You'll never have a say in that. So you just kind of have to deal with it, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't really, I don't think they like it, but I don't think that they were as judgmental as they were when I was younger, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're grown.
Yeah. And- yeah. I'm my own person type of thing. And plus, like, all the stuff I've been through, I think my parents were just like, let's just give her a break. So, yeah. But with all of that, I found the things about me in the kink world that were surprising. Like, I've always been a submissive. I've always been a submissive, thorough and thorough. Until about 3 years ago, I found out that I could switch with women. But it has to be the right person.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I could switch with women. I could be dominant with women, but I cannot be dominant with men to save my life. Oh, I have tried.
It's hard. I feel the same way.
Oh, it's so hard. I've tried. It is so hard for me. I've actually pegged a guy, believe it or not. Nice. And that, I giggled and I realized, I was like, this is not what I want to be doing. It's like, this needs to be the other way around.
I felt pretty powerful the first time I did it, but it did kind of end in a mess. So it wasn't the best experience.
It was
ever.
So, and what's even crazier is the person I did it with was an ex and he asked me and I was like, okay, sure. Why not? I'll try anything once. And it went in a little too easy, if you know what I mean. And afterwards I kind of asked him, I was like, have you done this before? And he was like, I mean, I haven't had somebody fuck me yet, but I've done it to myself. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense.
You're stretched out.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, before we get into the kinky chat, first I want to say thank you so much for opening up about Hunter. I mean, that's, I can't even imagine. And it's kind of beautiful too that my man's name is Hunter.
I know, but you said that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. But that sucks that he's no longer with us, but beautiful that you kind of have found yourself too and took all that time to heal grow.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like, I still feel like I'm every day, I swear, it's like it'll hit me certain points of the day where something will remind me of him, or I'll see something that just like sparks like a switch in my brain to fuck, I miss him, you know? And it's one of those things where if I could do anything, if somebody would ask me what's your biggest regret, I would say that I wasn't there for him when he did that. I should have been there. That's something I really, really would hold against myself, is I felt guilty as fuck.
Well, guilt is natural, but it's like you didn't do anything wrong.
Nope.
But that's a natural grief.
Oh, for sure.
Emotion.
Yeah, I was blamed, actually, by like the whole town of Monk's Corner for his death. I didn't even go to the funeral.
Oh my God.
I couldn't. Not only because I couldn't, but also because we had dated for 2 years. And he had gotten, before we had started dating, he'd gotten a girl pregnant. And he didn't know that the baby was his. He didn't think that the baby was his because it could have been somebody else's. It was up in the air. Could have been two different people. And up until she gave birth, he was so adamant, that's not my kid. That's not my kid. Like, I know it's not my kid. He passed away and his dad took the paternity test, 98% his kid. And the biggest reason why I couldn't go to the funeral was because she was there with the baby, passing the baby around like a trophy.
Yikes.
And that alone just bothered me so much because Hunter was so adamant about, that's not my child. I don't want anything to do with her. Like, it was a one-time hookup type deal, you know? And his parents were praising that. And they cut me out of the pictures on the slideshow that they showed to people at the fucking funeral. They literally cut me out of the pictures and put her and the baby in his thing.
Ugh.
And I'm so lucky that I got the video the night before the funeral, because I was going to go. I was going to back up and go. And I got that video and I watched it, I think probably 30 times. And that's when I called his dad and I was like, I'm not coming. I was like, that's so disrespectful. I was like, I've never once done anything wrong to you guys. I didn't even know that you guys had a problem with me. Like, you know, like, what the heck? And I'll never forget the words his dad said to me on the phone was, yeah, well, my son's gone because of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier for people to blame. Someone. Mm-hmm. So,
it's good to
respect your boundaries and just not go. I didn't put yourself into that energy.
I did not go, yeah. And do I regret not going? Yes and no. But I'm very spiritual, so I've spoken to him through mediums. Mm. And I know that he's at peace. And I know that it wasn't, he doesn't blame me. He doesn't think that it was because of me. And that was a big thing that I struggled with for like a really long time. But it was my fault. It's my fault.
Yeah. When people are blaming you, it's like you start to question everything.
Oh yeah, for sure. So knowing that I know that he's there, he watches over, you know, he's there for me. And I see that and I hear that. And I noticed that a lot. And people, it's one of those things where I always tell people, like, hold the people you love the most closest to your heart. Tell them every day that you love them, even if you're on a bad terms, because you never know when the last day is going to be their last. That's like the biggest thing and probably the biggest life lesson I've learned is that life is too short to hold grudges, to do things like that to people, to be mad at somebody for the smallest thing, you know? Because you just never know.
Yeah.
But it's also a beautiful thing too, because like I learn things the hard way. Always have. It's just, I'm stubborn. But I've also gained
a lot of people and a lot of like good things have come from that as well.
Yeah, a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure.
For sure. Yeah. Very much so.
Well, very much so.
Lots
of that.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Yeah. Like I used to sit there and be crying, mopey and sad. It's like, no, like now it's just like I want people to understand that like if you're going through it, I get it. Trust me. Been there. Yeah. You know, and I'm always open to anybody that ever wants to talk about it. I'm all ears and all mouth. So, but yeah. It's
what
crazy how the world works.
Your disability. I would love to open up if you could share a little as much as you're comfortable with, because have had some listeners and some people in my audience that have disabilities or in people that have reached out to me. They haven't really told me what, but they've just like, I'd love to hear from more people with disabilities about kink and exploration.
Okay.
Has your deafness affected your sex life? Like how has that obviously?
Oh my God.
It would.
Okay. So I have what is called bilateral sensorineural hearing loss. I was born with it. My birth mom did drugs heavily pregnant with me. And so that was the outcome of that. Yay me. But so I'm completely deaf in my right ear and I have 40% left in my left ear. And people love to say, oh, she's got selective hearing. That's the definition of what I have. So it's like, it's one of those things where I just, if I don't see your face, I'm not going to hear you. I will maybe hear 5% of what you're saying to me if I don't see your face. I lip read 1,000% to communicate. So when it comes to sex and things like that, I learned very quickly what are my do's and my don'ts. I cannot whatsoever be blindfolded because I can't hear. So if I cancel out another one of my senses, I freak out. I panic because if I can't hear, see, smell anything, I freak out. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where I can't be blindfolded. So that was one thing I learned the hard way.
Yep.
I also like the whole lip reading thing. Obviously, when you're having sex with somebody, that's not what's going through your mind, right? You, oh my God, I can't see your face. I need to hear you. Like, oh my God. So it's a lot of guessing and it's a lot of responding the wrong way accidentally, but then you just kind of like brush it off and move on to the next thing.
Which is normal in sex. Like sometimes
exactly.
Get awkward.
Exactly. I think one of the hardest parts though is like, I'll have like, for example, my boyfriend right now, we're in an open relationship, dating for 3 years. When we first started dating, was very much a mumbler. It's like would not enunciate to save his life. And there would be times where I would just be sitting there and I literally would not hear him at all. And he would be having like a full conversation with me and he'd look over and be like, did you not hear anything I just said? No, because you mumble. I can't, you gotta get my attention. Say, hey, you know, you gotta like make sure I'm listening first before you just start throwing out. He would say things to me during sex like, instruct me to do something or like say good girl or whatever. And I just want to respond. And he would be like, I didn't hear you. So that was a big thing throughout my whole life with that is I hate being and saying to anybody on the first time I meet them, I've always had this problem and I always will. Me and being deaf is not the first thing I will ever tell you. Because once I tell you, everything changes. Mm. Everything changes. And that has been that way my whole life. And I hate being deaf. It is like the one thing that about myself that I can't stand. And I've accepted that simply because it's like growing up, I was bullied really badly for being deaf. And it caused me to not wear my hearing aids, to lie to my parents about it, hide it. And I just learned on my own how to communicate. I taught myself how to lip read. I never did speech therapy. My parents kind of knew that I was hiding it, but kind of not knew that I was hiding it. Like I would wear my hearing aids in front of them. And then when I would get to school, I'd take them out, put them in my bag. And then when they pick me up, put them back in type thing. Because I was so ashamed and embarrassed and I still am to this day, but I channel it in other ways. And I try to do things differently because in the past, if I were to say to somebody like, oh, nice to meet you, I'm Dakota, I'm deaf. I've done that. I've tried that trial and error. And I either get one of two responses. I either get a really like loud, somebody wants to like just scream at me. I mean, I don't need that. I really don't need that. Please don't do that. Or I will have somebody talk to me like this. And I'm just like, please don't do that either. I don't need that either. Please don't do that. And, or I would just get treated really differently, like by everyone. And so it's a blessing and a curse because I'll have my friends tell me, they'll be like, Annie, you've got to tell people, you have to tell people you're deaf. And I'm like, well, but I don't like doing that on the first impression with people because I feel like every single time I've done that, it's a instant, oh, I feel bad for her type of vibe. And that's the last thing I want. And to feel from somebody is then to be like, oh, she's not normal. And she's got a disability. She's special. You know, I hated that. And so it's comes into play with like being in a sexual experience with men or women. It's kind of like off the bat, they already know that you kind of have to make sure that I'm looking at you in order to hear you. So if you're behind me getting back shots, you know, I'm not going to be able to be like, yeah, you know, like I can't hear you, what's going on. So I'm just in my own world. You got to flip me over and then we can keep going. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things where I've had to learn how to kind of just maneuver around it. But I think that growing from younger years and now I'm way more open and talking about it than I ever think I would be because I was used to like hide it so much to the point where my parents would get really concerned phone calls from like parents and teachers and be like, you know, is Annie okay? Or is she okay? Is she okay? The person, she's deaf. What do you mean? Like, she not tell you guys that? And then they sat me down and they told me, they're like, you have to tell people, you have to disclose that to people that you have a disability. No, I don't. I really don't, you know?
Yeah, and I kind of agree to you with you in a way because I think, you know, that's just going to perpetuate the way that we treat people with disabilities differently. And I think all they want is to be treated the same. And
exactly.
Yeah, of course, naturally, like there might be some things that are different.
Yeah.
But for me, like every time I can see someone visually with a disability, I just treat them the exact same way.
Same. Yeah, same.
And, you know, yours is kind of more of a hidden one. Or
it is.
Know,
yeah, it is.
So it's hard to know. But at the same time, it's like that's a part of you that some people might not deserve to know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's also being like a kinky person or a bisexual person. Yeah. Like, you're not going up to everyone saying like, hey, no, I'm here and I'm bi.
I had a conversation with a friend one day about that. They asked me, you know, why don't you tell people? And I was like, you know, why don't I just get a tattoo on my forehead that says I'm deaf, right? Or wear a name tag or something. Like, no.
Yeah. I think if you're dating someone, if you're in an intimate relationship with someone, it's going to have to come up because they're going to realize
1,000%.
Naturally it will when you're getting vulnerable with someone. But I think for anyone that has any sort of disability, I think you should just own it when it feels right for you and not feel pressured to open up about it.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with you on that. Never feel pressured about it, for sure. And it's like another thing that if you are struggling with your disability or you know somebody that's struggling with a disability, like, for example, the deaf community here in Charleston is close 0 to none.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Because it's actually pretty big in L.A. And I
really?
Know even on, well, I think maybe it was just because on The Bachelor recently, I'm like a super bachelorette nerd.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know, they're my guilty pleasure. But there was a girl that was deaf on there, and I think it just blew up the community.
Okay.
And maybe it's because I follow her.
That's cool.
That she shares a lot about it, and she's posting reels, and she wrote a book.
Who is it?
I can't even think of her name, but she's just this cute little blonde. She wasn't a bachelorette. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
She was in the final two.
Okay, okay.
A few years ago.
Okay, okay.
I'll send her to you.
Word, okay, word.
But either way, I think it's beautiful to see people opening up or even people. I had a girl with diabetes on the podcast, and she was opening up about, you know, her
Dexcom thing.
So I think it's nice to hear from people that are still struggling with the shame and moving through it, and to just remind other people that, like, one, you're not alone, but two, like, it's a journey and it's gonna be ever changing.
It really is. Like, I probably will be, doctors say that I won't make it past 40.
Really?
Oh yeah. And I believe it because, so obviously when I was younger, I wasn't deaf in my right ear fully. So, fun fact, actually, like, my parents and doctors didn't even know that, or would think that I would have a disability, because my doctor was lying to my parents and telling them that they were giving me my hearing test, and they were not. Mm-hmm. So my mom switched doctors, and when they gave me the hearing test, my mom could hear it in the waiting room, and I couldn't hear it at all. And they looked at my mom. They're like, you got to get her to an audiologist. She's deaf. My mom's like, what? No wonder she's so loud all the time.
How does that affect your lifespan?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, so when I got diagnosed, I was in first grade fully. And then when I was 2016, I think it was in 2016. 2016, I had the cochlear implant surgery on my right side, which is the hearing aid inside your brain. And you see those people with the little magnets on their heads, like, connected to their ears. Those are cochlears.
Yeah, that's what this girl has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that surgery was awful. I think I've had 14 ear surgeries.
Oh my God.
That by far, I'm gonna never do it again. I was supposed to have both of my ears done originally, but I didn't know. And this is the part that comes in my parents and control. I didn't know that the surgery completely cuts your hearing out. Like, you're zero, zit, nada. So I was going to do both of my ears in the surgery, and I found out a week before, because the doctors had to sit me down with Blue Air because I was still underage. And they asked me, they were like, Annie, are you okay with being completely deaf? And I was like, wait, what? I thought this was a hearing aid. Like, I thought, wait a minute. No, I'm not okay with that.
So it just replaces your...
Yeah, so it's a receiver, right? Is the outside part. The magnet on the inside is the device. And the receiver, when you put the receiver on, it turns it on. But when you take the receiver off, it's nothing. My father, I'm adopted, is completely deaf, has two double cochlear implants, which is the craziest thing, because I'm adopted, and that it's kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm really, really proud of my dad, because the surgery worked for him and he loves his cochlears and it has changed his life completely. I hated it. Absolutely no thank you. They turned it on the first day they turned it on. I had a panic attack. I didn't know that ACs made noise, fans made noise, wind made noise, paper made noise, like anything little that I'd never heard before. I was just like, no, nope, no thank you. It would give me paralytic migraines to the point where I couldn't walk or see anything at all except for maybe like this much.
The reason for that is because the magnet that they implanted in my skull was too strong for my receiver. So every single day, I'd wear it all day, and I'd take it off, and I'd get home, it would hit me like a ton of bricks. And so my doctor told me that I needed, what is it called? Replacement surgery to fix it. I said, no, thank you. She's done. You know, she's out for the count, so it's fine. We'll just move on. I still got one for good type of a deal. And believe it or not, last time I went to an audiologist, Hunter was with me. And I'll never forget the look on his man's face when I sat in the booth and took my test. And he'd never seen that before. So he was very like intrigued. Oh, this is how it works type thing. And I struggle. There's a test that they give you and it's a beep. And you sit there and you have a button and she'll play a series of beeps for you. I hate the beep tests because my brain plays a trick on me where the moment I hear that first beep, I think it's a repetition thing, right? And so I'll sit there and try not to count it, but I'll sit there and count it. And I'll rhythmically click the thing. And when I got done and I opened up the door, my doctor was like, really? And I just was like, I cannot do the beep test, please. And he couldn't understand what I was talking about. And so she actually put him in the booth and gave him the test. And afterwards, he looked at me and he was like, you are one strong motherfucker. He was like, how do you do this? And I was like, it's my whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing it since I can remember. And the doctor told me that day, this is when I needed the readjustment surgery. And I started crying in the office because I just felt defeated. And I felt that I was going to disappoint my parents because I always disappointed them when it came to my hearing aids. That's what they tell me. And that's not something you want to hear because I struggled so badly with bullies that even hearing that from my parents made me feel like, they're ashamed of me, you know? And Hunter was the first person ever in the whole world to sit in that doctor's office with me and actually say in front of my doctor, like, if you don't want to do this, we could go home. And I just looked at him and I was like, yeah, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. And having that helped me so much because I realized like I could say no to these doctors. I can say no and I can say I want to go home and I can be my own person and do my own thing. If I don't want what they're trying to give me, I don't have to take it. And I was always told by my parents growing up that whatever the doctor tells you is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so having that moment and me realizing that I am my own person and nobody can tell me different and my health, anything, that it's okay to want to go home. It's okay to not want to do those things. And so that has helped me a lot as well because I realized that the cochlear and the hearing aid is not right for me and it's too much for me. I'd rather be deaf than have that for sure. And I have surprised a lot of people when I say that, but
well, it's also empowering too. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously Hunter inspired that out of you, which is beautiful, but I'm sure you've harnessed it more yourself. And it's like, okay, I'm going to own the fact that I'm deaf and I've figured it out this long. Mm-hmm. I can keep going.
Yeah, exactly. It does type help. Like I've heard stories from other people who are deaf that I should write a book about it.
Yeah.
Just simply because like I have so many little like tips and tricks and things and that I've learned over the years. I'm only 27, so I'm still pretty young. And I think I've learned a lot of life lessons when it comes to how to own your disability, like you said, and how to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's always going to be a part of me that hates it and wishes that it didn't happen to me.
Oh, but maybe not.
No. But then there's also a bigger part of me that's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. But one of the hardest things I think was when I tell people that I am deaf, them being able to, like, what's the right word? Understand or how to communicate with me or how to, like, be in a group setting with people because I've been in a couple of play
experiences with the couples. And it doesn't always work out that well because of my hearing. And I'll understand it and I'll see that when it's happening and I'll say something like, I'll chime in and be like, hey, like next time, make sure you just like, just turn around for a quick second and just let me know what's going on and we'll be good, you know, because I will get excluded if that makes sense, because like nobody knows how to communicate. So I would have to push myself to get over that anxiety hump of, Annie, you got to speak up. If you want this to go well, you got to speak up and let them know. So that was hard for me to do at first, is like making it known if something wasn't right or going well because of that. And I could see that it was happening and nobody was saying anything. Oh, I learned that the hard way. So then it like made me jumpstart to, okay, and you can say something. It's not going to hurt their feelings and it's not going to hurt your feelings. And everybody needs to be on the same page. You feel me?
Yeah.
So stuff like that, I've learned a lot. And
I think even when you're exploring kink and open relationships and play parties and things like that, that's a part of it, is those growing pains. Obviously yours is heightened with your disability, but I think everyone's like figuring how to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
And like, so
it probably
makes you feel like, okay, like I'm not alone. Like, even though maybe you feel like you are, like everyone's also figuring out their boundaries and what works.
Exactly. And, yes. That's exactly how it is. And my hearing is just a little bump in the equation. Just nothing.
Just a little additive.
Yeah. Just a little spice to the pile.
To your life. I love
it. Yeah.
Let's talk about some kinky stuff.
Okay.
Well, you're in a relationship. You said you're in an open relationship, right? So do you consider yourself non-monogamous or do you?
So yes. So I mean, I guess I could say I'm both. This has been my first ever non-monogamous relationship.
Okay.
His name's Austin. Austin actually introduced me to this whole idea of, you know, being open and your person is your person and that's who you come home to and all of that. And at first I was really like, kind of like, I don't know about that. I'm a little jealous sometimes. I get a little possessive sometimes, you know. I don't know if I like that. But Austin showed me very, very fast and very soon that I would never need to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And he changed my view on that completely, which was, the way he changed it for me was like, you're my person. You're the person I come home to every day. You're the first one I choose every day. But there are days when I don't want to fuck. I don't want to play. I'm like, get away from me. And he goes, you know, does his own thing. And I'm fine with that. Because at the end of the day, he comes home to me. He came home to me and he showed me that. And it was very much a very good experience for me. And it could have gone wrong in so many ways, but it didn't. And we very fast learned our boundaries with things. And yeah, I'm pretty sure there were a couple of times where like things were not going the way they should be going. But we learned and changed our behaviors very quickly to, because sometimes you don't realize what a boundary is until it starts happening.
Yep.
So for example, like one of the boundaries that we came across very, very quickly was, we lived together for about a year and a half. We don't live together right now. We learned that living together, being together 24/7 is not good for our relationship. And so one of the things that we noticed very quickly was, we don't fuck roommates.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I like that one.
So that was a quick one. Cause like he had sex with one of our roommates and it's fine. I wasn't hurt about it. It was just like kind of weird. I was like, I don't know if I like that, because I realized that she was, I mean, it was not harmless, like just flirting with him a little bit in front of me. And I was just kind of like, wait, did you guys fuck? And I didn't know yet. And so when that happened, I realized, I was like, okay, yeah, no. I was like, that's one of my things now. And he was like, okay, I can understand that. And then it happened in his point of view with me. And he felt the same way. And he was like, yeah, no, I don't like that. That's definitely not okay. So we learned things like that. Another boundary that we had was like, we don't play with the other person if we have another person, if we are home. So like if I was home and he had a girl that he was interested in and I'm home, he has to come to me, not her, first. if that makes sense. So like if he were to come to me and then invited, that'd be different. But just her and him with me at the house, no.
Yeah.
Vice versa. So we learned that. As far as like dating other people, like saying like, oh, I've got two boyfriends or I've got two girlfriends. We tried that and it was, I mean, like, it's just weird. I felt weird saying like that. I had two boyfriends. So that right out of the gate was just a big no. I didn't really like that part.
Yeah, I remember trying polyamory too, to a degree, and it just never felt right for me. I think similarly, that, like it never resonated.
Yeah.
And I, like, they're part of me has this dream, like, I feel like Hunter's my man and I'm going to be with him forever.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, you know what? Maybe it'd be fun if we dated a girl one day. Right, like, yeah. I'd love to fall in love with a woman. So I'm not discounting that we couldn't date someone together and like maybe that'll shift where we're not always playing together because I think right now our boundaries are like we play together.
Yeah.
That's how we explore.
That's awesome.
And so
love that.
But still it you know, who knows if that might not change in the future.
Are you guys both bi or
no, just me.
Cool.
Just me. So
cool.
In the beginning it was just only women.
Okay.
And then in the last few years, we've been exploring couples.
Okay.
Even leaving LA, we were like, we have to go out with a bang. I mean, I've heard about the community here, which I want to ask you about, but I didn't know like how big it was. And I was like, it's probably nothing compared to LA. Your face is saying it all. You can come up here, baby.
Daniel Island is swinger central, I would just say.
That's what I heard the other day.
It is swinger central. Like.
Okay, so there's swinger parties. There's play parties here.
Yes, there are. I personally have never been to any of the parties, but I have heard wonderful things. And then I've heard terrible things.
Okay.
Well, I guess the community here is really small for that type of thing. And Daniel Island, I feel like, is the main, that's where it mainly happens. It's rich peopleville.
Okay.
Like, that's the Miami of Charleston, I guess, in a sense. Like, it's you're probably going to run into a lot of older couples rather than
young.
Yeah. And they will offer to pay you. It's crazy. I have been in, like, me and Austin have been invited to a couple of parties. Austin actually got offered, it was like $5,000 to go to be like basically a sex object at a party.
Oh, wow.
He declined. He's very, what's the word? He gets stage fright. So he gets scared.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't do that. That's
too much.
It's too much. But these women, I swear, like they were all over the age of 45.
Okay. So it's a little bit of an older community.
Yes.
What about the kink community? Because I know you're kind
of major. I mean, there's I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. There's a store called, Chateau Experience, and it's in North Charleston. This store is not just a store. It is also a movie theater type of thing, right?
Okay.
Not only that, it's like when you walk out the store, it looks like a regular like sex shop, right? Then there's like a part connected to it that it looks like from the outside, it looks like a wheelchair ramp accessible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But actually it's a horseshoe that's connected to the building. And in the horseshoe, there are a bunch of different rooms around the horseshoe. And
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And I think it's like $5 or $10 to get in. It's free to the women. And in each room, there is a screen, porn, options. And then there are glory holes, and there are like they do parties and stuff, but it's,
so it's like a dungeon space kind of.
Kind of, I guess, but it's very, I hate to say this because it's really like the only place around here that I know of that's actually like this. It's kind of ratchet. Yeah. If you want me to be real, it's kind of ratchet. I went in there one day because I was so curious. I had to see it. And it was not good. I'm not even kidding. Even I tell you, like, it was just a bunch of guys with their dicks out, like, okay, going to room to room to room to room. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, this is not what I was thinking. I was like, okay. Yeah. You know, it's a little awkward.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward. But it's a cool experience. So if you guys haven't been yet and you can go check it out, just go check it out.
Yeah,
might go as look
well.
And see, like, what it's pretty cool. The people in there are really nice. And they're very strict on the rules. Like, for example, if you're in the theater part and there's somebody in the store, this happened to me a couple times. I've had guys come out from the theater part and try to get me to come in there as I'm shopping. Mm. You can't do that. And they'll like yell. It's the funniest thing ever, but it's also like, oh no, like they're in trouble type shit. Like, they'll get yelled at and kicked out. It's like a whole rule thing. So I don't really know if it's like legal.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know, but it's out there. Like, it's free to the public. So, I mean, like, it's very, like, they advertise it and everything. So, I don't really know how it works, but it's definitely, I'll be honest, I have wanted to try the glory hole part so fucking bad because I have a kink thing. I love giving blowjobs. I'm so good at it. And I've gained the nickname Throat Goat here.
Yeah, from, I was going to talk,
so,
mention your name.
So, I really have wanted to do that really badly. But I'm also terrified because, like, for me, for the whole glory hole thing, I would want to know who's behind it. You know, I don't think I could do it with just a stranger just because, like, you never know. Yeah. If people are dirty and I don't trust anybody, especially, like, here in Charleston, because I take pride in the fact that I'm clean and I don't want, you know, and it's just one of those things where, like, if I was to do that, I would have to know who was behind the call, but that's something I really do want to do.
Well, you could probably curate it too, or like get a few people you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, about doing. I was like, maybe I could get like
make a
lineup.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be there to over that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no, that's something that I definitely want to do, and I haven't done yet. I've even had a, like, I want to do the consensual and non-consensual. So I want somebody to like chase me, kidnap me, you know, like, take me and fuck me type shit. Yeah.
Well, because you're really into degradation and humiliation and that sort of
that,
thing. Too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. That's my thing. Yeah. For
so
sure.
I could imagine making a scene around. Yeah.
Yeah. CNC. Actually, that's what's crazy. Like, Hannah and I were talking about that. We wanted to do something like that. We're like, we should just make like a post on Instagram or TikTok and just say that we're going to be at this area at this day and time. And if you want to chime in and you guys want to chase us, you can come and chase us and catch
us. Consent.
No, for real. We thought about doing that. And that's something that I definitely want to do. I know that Austin, he wants to do that with me so badly, but I'm just like, I feel like what we do CNC on the daily. So I'm just like, I want to do it with somebody I don't know. I want it to be somebody I don't know. Like, you know, to get the real like effect of the adrenaline. But I've heard from a couple of people. There's actually a girl I follow on Instagram. Her name is Sammy. I can't remember her last name, but that's her thing. So she will have these guys like show up somewhere, chase her and stuff. And she'll like take videos and like record it. It's really cool. And I actually like would love to do something like that. Like that would be fun. Yeah, for sure. <that. laughs> What about you? Do you?
I'm not into degradation or humiliation or that sort of thing. I'm big into like rope. I love rope. So I love being bonded.
Nice.
Bondage is fun.
Oh, yeah.
We, at our last place, we had the bar above our bed.
Okay.
With
okay.
a bunch of like chains
yeah.
and ropes.
Yeah,
so that
girl,
was
yeah.
fun to play
That's awesome.
With.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure.
I've only been tied once.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
So. It feels good. I think also more than just feeling, restricted. It's also just like the way the rope feels or the chains or whatever the bondage is like that to me kind of heightens my other senses too. Or
okay.
even I like to play with things in my mouth, whether that's a ball gag or a pacifier or even, you know, something around my eyes. Like I think taking away one of my senses mm-hmm. makes me feel more into my body. Okay. And it just makes the orgasm feel yeah. bigger.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yes.
So I definitely play with that a lot. But lately, we've been pretty vanilla since we've moved here. I mean, there was even like a couple weeks where we moved here and our stuff wasn't here yet. And we went across the country with the dog and the cat. Yeah. And we have a snake. And
oh, you have a snake.
We have a ball python. He's cool. You can. Oh, you're not into snakes. Okay, sorry, I mentioned it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Just don't. That's okay. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, I am deathly terrified of them.
I have a best friend that is too, so I can we'll just stop talking.
That's
about
cool,
it.
That's cool.
But we traveled across the country mm-hmm. in 3 days. It was so quick.
Oh my gosh! So I feel like that's like kind of like.
It was kind of insane.
Yeah.
And I was mad at him for that because he thought it was a good idea. And yeah. I was like, okay.
We're gonna hate this later, but it's okay.
So I think I was just like, we both were recovering for yeah. like 2 weeks and starting to get back into our flow. Mm-hmm. And finally, when the stuff arrived, and it was just stressful
yeah.
with like our stuff not being here imagine, and yeah. the communication. Oh, and
did so you guys was, like ship your stuff? Like, is yeah. that how it works?
Okay, yeah, we okay, shipped okay. our stuff. But that left like 2 weeks before we left. So we were trying to time it, I thought, perfectly. But then it took like a month. And so it was just a lot. Ooh. Yeah.
Did you guys lose anything?
No, luckily we didn't. Like a couple of things were like a few things broke, like some plates and bowls and
yeah.
a couple of things. Very minor cosmetic sort of things.
You got majority of this.
Yeah, me too. Because that would have been, was where my yeah. head was going was, oh my God, like I didn't even like keep our important documents with us. Like I put them in a box. You know what I mean?
Oh no.
But anyways, it's been fun. And I think coming here with this podcast and this brand, I'm like, I feel more challenged in a way because it's like, okay, I'm going to be in a new place, new community, new guests, like new way for me to meet people too.
Oh yes.
But also I'm like a little bit more cautious because I think, I don't know, do you feel like people here are a little bit more judgmental? It sounds like you've been through a lot of judgment yourself, yeah. But have you ever felt
so,
like...
I think you should be worried about is not so much that, it's more of fakeness.
Oh, okay.
It's more of genuine. I don't know what it is, what has taken over Charleston, but it is really hard to find genuine people. And it is really hard to find somebody or anyone in general that's not going to bash your name, talk shit about you behind your back, lie to your face. I mean, all the above. It's rough. And I think also like coming from the West Coast to the South, two very huge different, I'm sure Hunter could probably tell you, it's really different. But also in a sense of like, there are people that are so down to earth and so amazing and so lovely here. You just have to really be careful and just be mindful that that person may not be shady, you know? Right. And if I were to give any advice for you to meet friends and meet people, whatever you do, do not go out downtown to try to do that.
Oh.
The girls downtown are nasty creatures that are from the Blue Lagoon or something, man, I promise. Because I used to love to go out downtown with my girlfriends and people and all of that. Now, I'm like, shit, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it also depends on like when and, you know, all of that. Like if it's college, like colleges and such, yeah, it's just going to be college, you know, kids, the vibe, all of that stuff. But there are a few little holes in the wall, like Container and Burns Alley is a really good one. There's a karaoke bar, if you're into that. It's called Bangkok. That one's really good, too. Rec Room. Love Rec Room. But if you want to stay away from, like, the cringiness, don't go to Republic. Don't go to Uptown.
Appreciate the tips.
Yeah. But I feel like with your vibes, I feel like you would fit in really well, like around here and like Shim Creek and stuff like that. I can see you vibing. Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm excited to explore more here. Yeah, and it's been nice getting to know you. It's been so nice getting to know you.
You too. No, for real. It's been lovely. I really appreciate you having me. And like, I hope that my words of wisdom get across to somebody somewhere that's struggling, because that's also a very big thing to me. It's like, if I can help anybody feel better about themselves with a disability, I love doing that, because I understand what it's like to feel like you're alone or feel like you are different and you weird to the crowd around you, whatever. Shit, we're all fucked up in some way, you know? And I feel like the people that embrace that and are real about it are the people that are genuine and nice and want the best for everyone around them. Whereas somebody who's judgmental and rude and mean, it's just, you know? So I do appreciate that. It means the world.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, I'm happy that we got to shed some light on that.
Yeah.
And open up a little. Would you like to share that last time you've had that sweet release with us? Any and all details?
So
I maybe it was a CNC with your
craziest,
man?
The craziest thing I guess I could say was this happened, I want to say about a year ago. I was kind of dating a girl
okay,
in the middle of me and Austin's relationship. Her name is Claudia. And I'd known this girl, my God, she was a roommate at one point early on in life when I was like 18. And I was hooking up with her and one of our other mutual friends, Cole. And that's other things. I used to fuck Cole all the time in high school, like all the time in the stairwells at school type shit. Like, I was crazy, crazy. But he made me squirt. For the first time.
First time ever.
And it scared me. Like, at first, I was like, what? And then afterwards, when we finished, I looked at Claudia and I was like, Claudia, that was my first time. I was like, oh my God. I like started freaking out, getting all giddy. And Cole walked back into the room. He was like, did I just hear that was your first time? And I was like, yeah, stop it. Shut up. Don't say anything. And he's like, oh, that's cute. And I was like, stop. But that, I think, was probably like, I was taken aback. I didn't even know that I could do that. I didn't even realize or think in a million years that that would be able to happen. Mm-hmm. So when it did, it was definitely a shocker. Claudia saw it. She was like, I saw that shit. And I was like, yes.
First time I squirted, I felt the same. I was shocked, but also like, oh my God, my body can do that. It again. I kept doing it again.
Yes. Oh my God.
Was it with fingers?
Hmm?
Was it with fingers? Or was it? Okay. Yeah. That's what mine was too.
Which was interesting because, like, it was strange. I was very shocked, taken aback. What had happened, I almost, like, jumped. I was like, whoa, okay, this is happening. Yeah. I was like, weird. This is cool.
Intense.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love it. Thanks for sharing.
So you did, you squirt too?
Yeah.
It depends.
Like, it's been a while since it's happened. Sometimes it feels like it's, like, yeah, like an internal squirt. Like I do get really wet, but it's not like a gush like I've seen before, or like projectile. The first time that happened, it was at a play party, and it was this guy that like was the guy that could make any girl squirt.
Yeah.
He just had the neck.
That's awesome.
But it's, I mean, we do have a squirting or like a squirt blanket or, you know, but it's not my favorite thing, like to just make a mess. Like I'd rather...
I feel that same.
Yeah.
I feel that. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I also found out recently that I don't like to use my fingers. I am not a finger girl. Yeah. I am a toy girl all day.
Same.
I realized that the hard way recently. I was just like, yeah, I'm not into that anymore. I was like, I need a toy.
Like college maybe for like a second or high
like
school.
Like myself. Like me and my little myself. Yeah. It's not my
thing. Same.
Yeah. It's weird.
No, I am the same. Yeah. I'm full vibrator or.
Yeah, I need something.
Toy.
Yeah, toys, some sorts.
Is that what you're typically doing on OnlyFans, or do you also do like partnered stuff or
so
what?
So, all of the above.
Yeah.
Actually, about a month ago, I just got signed with a management company.
Oh, awesome. Good for you.
So that's been rolling in the works. Yeah.
Yay.
I think the craziest part about all of it, though, is I have a TikTok for it, and then I have my personal one. So, like, I have to do both. Some of the things they want me to do, I'm just like, that's not happening. It's going to get taken down. Within a second of me posting it, I was like, there's no way in hell I can post something like that on TikTok and get away with it, right?
Yeah.
And I've been getting away with it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, this is weird, but okay. I'm definitely making more money than being doing it myself because I've been on OnlyFans for, gosh, like coming up on 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, coming up on 4 years. So do you have one?
I have a Fansly. I've been meaning to.
What's the difference?
It's the same.
Okay.
The only reason I chose Fansly initially is because I thought I was getting into kind of like baby girl stuff with like pacifier.
Yeah.
Play, and I saw on cute. OnlyFans that they didn't like allow that, but yeah, there were
been changing a lot of rules,
but things have shifted, and I think I'm not even posting that content anyways. I just wanted to be free.
That's cool. That's cool though.
But I think if I did OnlyFans it would be more successful.
Yeah,
because I think it's just more common people.
Really?
I don't know. I've been debating.
They made me a Fansly, my management team. And I was so confused. I was like, what it was. I was like, what is this? They're like, it's basically OnlyFans, but like, that's what other people are using. And I was like, okay, interesting. We'll see how it goes. But for me, with the OnlyFans, I have only been able to, like, I always found that I made more money having a non-paid. So my account's free, but you got to pay to see everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not a subscription.
Oh.
I've actually made more money that way in the past, like, 3 years or so. And they told me, they were like, yeah, for some odd reason, your account, like, you make way more money with a free account than you do a paid one.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So, I should play. Yeah, well, I'll have to ask you more questions, too.
Yeah, girl, yeah, I got you. I got you.
We should do a photo shoot.
Please, absolutely. No, but thank you so much for having me today.
I really appreciate
this has meant the world.
So, thanks for sharing your wisdom. Do you want to share your handles in case people want to find you on OnlyFans or anything?
So, let's see.
Or I can put them in the comments. Team,
yeah, so they gave me, like, I have, let's see, my Instagram. It is, so it's Dakota Hendricks Only. That is my Insta. And same thing for TikTok. It's honestly the same thing across all profiles. It's Dakota Hendricks Only. So
okay, perfect.
If you guys want to give me a follow, please do. But I really do appreciate it. And this was so great. So thank you, Barbie, so much.
Thank you. And to my sweets, thanks for coming back. Thanks for being here with me in my new home, Charleston. And thanks again, Dakota. Nice to meet you. We'll see you next time, y'all. Be sweet to yourself, as always. Mwah.